Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem podcast.
Or M Cubed for short. I'm Sam, and she's Paige. Join our crazy train, and let's talk about murder!
So, the other day, I was at my work, and I'm just sitting there minding my own damn business.
Yeah?
Eating my lunch. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I hear, you know, bug noise, and I'm like, where the hell? And I'm like looking everywhere, trying to figure out where the hell this come from. Because I know it came close to my ear. I felt like I knew it was close to me. And I like looked everywhere, and I didn't see it, right? So I'm just like, okay. So I start eating my lunch again. And then all of a sudden, attack! It's like in my ear, go. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, swapping at it, like swatting at it, trying to get it off of me. And I fall out of the freaking chair. These chairs are from like 1920, right? And I fall forward in the daggum chair.
So sorry, my kid interrupted your story.
I don't even remember where it was at.
It attacked your face.
It did. It was like in my ear. In my ear. Friggin' stink bug. And it was like.
I love the sounds that the stink bug made.
It was trying to impregnate my ears.
Impregnate your ears?
Yes! It was making sweet, sweet love to my ear. And I told him no. No means no, stink bug.
No. Oh, sweet, sweet love. Oh, that's perfect.
I was violated, and not in a good way.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
Stink bugs have a thing for me.
Apparently so.
I just don't like it.
I wonder what attracts them to you.
What? I smell so good.
They're smelly, so they need you. You're like a flower. So, this story that I have for you today is fucked up like most of them, but serial killer version fucked up. So, I listen to a bunch of podcasts anyway, but like the idea of certain victims are less dead, like less talked about, less because they're not seen as important as, I don't know, the pretty white girl that has beautiful blue eyes kind of thing.
Right.
So people who are sex workers and stuff like that tend to be like put on the wayside a little bit.
Right.
Rather than on the forefront of every newspaper, which made searching anything for this case exceedingly hard because there was nothing. In this case, there are 5 women more suspected. Actually, there's a lot more suspected, but none that are specifically linked to this serial killer. Apparently, while writing this, I got really upset because I kept mentioning Tiny Dick Man. anyway, there are 5 known women in this particular case with this serial killer. In Lawton, Oklahoma. This person targeted sex workers along the Cache Road in Lawton, Oklahoma. Each one of them were found naked in or near some form of water from 1999 to 2003. Most had some type of narcotics in their system. And the more I searched, the less I found. Which sounds kind of silly, but there was only one really good source for this case, and it's the Oklahoma Cold Cases, and you can find them on Facebook. They post the pictures and small snippets about the cases. That's where I found most of my information, and they actually went out and interviewed the victims' families and anyone that they could find, like even law enforcement officers and stuff. They have a 7-part series where they go in and describe each of these murders, but also try to connect other victims that were found in the same kind of manner.
Okay.
So, really, they were looking at how the bodies were dumped, and went from there as far as who the specific individual was, if they even could identify them, because there were some that are not identified. Yeah. This lovely little reign of terror went on from 1999 to 2003, which is the official time frame for the serial killer, and they still have no idea who this man is.
Really? He hasn't been caught?
No.
So he's just out there into the world. He's just
out there. There's a lot of different theories.
This little dick man.
This tiny dick man. I need to name it that. Sorry. No, this tiny little man who apparently he's got no control over his life, so he wants to control somebody, and unfortunately he chooses these people. I'm gonna talk about the murders and each person individually, but more specifically I tried to find something about each person that was listed, like their personality or something, because I don't want them to just be known as these sex workers that were killed and dumped. Because that's essentially what all the media did. These prostitutes that were on drugs were murdered. And it's like, oh, that was eventually going to happen because they live a high-risk lifestyle.
Exactly.
So there's literally... I know that I found some news articles from where they were found, and that's pretty much it. Like, there was one news article about any one of these people, and there was nothing to follow up. And it was always on, like, the back pages of the newspaper.
And that's sad.
It really fucking is. So the five official victims are Jane Chafton, Cassandra Ramsey, Mandy Raitt, Janice Buono, Pamela Woodring. The others that are suspected to be the victims of the Tiny Dick Man are Tina Priest,
mm-hmm.
Catherine Moore, Barbara Barry, Rebecca Boyd, Tanya Hook, and Anastasia Running Wolf. So I'll start with, I'm going to start with the official ones, and then I'll kind of go back to the others and kind of go a little bit more depth. Anyway, so Jane, on August 13th, 1999, Jane was found dead in Sandy Bear Creek in Stevens County. This is all in Oklahoma, by the way. She was found naked, only identifiable by her fingerprints and tattoos. At the time, she was 28. Her upbringing was rough, but she had an amazingly close bond with her sister, Candace. And actually, if you go onto Facebook to the Oklahoma Cold Cases, you can see her commenting on Jane's photos and stuff like that. So Jane originally worked as an accountant, like a real accountant, not like a TikTok accountant. until one of her friends decided to talk her into making more money more quickly. So at the time of her death, she was working at Susie's Massage Parlor.
So she eventually did become a TikTok accountant.
Yes.
Okay.
She did. So... you know, based on the how things were going here, I'm thinking happy endings were on the menu.
Yeah.
It was mentioned that this was a favorite place to go for the soldiers nearby.
I mean, she could have been doing their taxes in the back.
Maybe. But anyway. So Candace and Jane spoke fairly frequently. The last time Candace spoke with her sister was on August 1st, and the last time Jane was seen was on August 10th, and this was 1999. She had been staying at a Motel 6. She called a taxi for a ride to Duncan. Soon after placing the call, requesting a ride, she ended up canceling it and saying, oh, I've got a ride, don't worry about it, just don't send anybody. Then that was the last time anybody ever had heard from her. So she went missing on the 10th, and she was found on the 13th. The coroner noted no obvious signs of trauma leading to her death. So she was suspected of just an overdose.
Mm.
Cassandra, or Sandy. I'll say Sandy because that's what she went by. She was last seen in early November 1999. She was 25 at the time of her death. She was a known sex worker and had a known addiction. She was kind of couch surfing at the time of her death. But she had decided that she wanted to turn her life around, so... she was telling these people that she was staying with that she was going to Texarkana. the last time she was seen getting into a full-sized van with an unidentified white male. But nobody could give any, like, real description of this man other than he was an older gentleman. So when I talked about the full-sized van, I instantly thought of that white van mm-hmm. that had, like, the boarded-up windows and stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't described that way, but that's what popped in my head.
Not me, too. The candy van.
The candy van. Stan the van man. So I wanted to point out, because in a couple of places, actually, I saw this. She had actually said, after they found Jane, that she was going to be the next one.
She said that?
She said that to multiple people.
That she was going to be next?
Yeah.
So she just had the feeling, or she was just saying that?
I guess she just had that feeling. I don't know. But once they found Jane, she said that. And that's one of the reasons she wanted to change her life and move to Texarkana. Oh, she was last seen early November 1999. She wasn't found until March 22nd, 2000. She was found half buried in a muddy ditch where water flows mm-hmm. over the Jefferson Cotton Line. So another random strange side note here. She had a favorite pair of earrings that she wore a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like I guess they were studs or something. And one of the stones had fallen out of one of them. And she had been searching for it everywhere. When she was found, both earrings were with her. And the stone was laying near her.
Oh, wow.
Which gives me, like, T-Rex arms a little bit. Because for them to have that, either she found it when she was packing to move, or they were stalking her.
Right.
And if they were stalking her, somebody had to have seen something.
You think so?
So when she was found, she was naked. But she also had these earrings and the missing stone with her. And again, I want to point out that even though there have been two deaths at this point, there was little to no coverage in the media about these women at all.
And the first one they thought was just an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, what are they ruling it?
She also had substances in her system.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she also had some bruising around her neck. So they couldn't rule out
foul play.
So at this point, law enforcement was kind of like, oh, that's a little weird. But then still didn't pursue it fully like they would if it wasn't a sex worker.
Right.
All right. So then the next one is Mandy Wright. On June 17th, 2000, she was found. She had been reported missing 3 days before. She was 21 years old at the time, and she had a young child. She was found in a small creek off Bethel Road. So like the others, she was found naked. And even though this makes the third one found dead in or around some form of water, there were still no real connections drawn between the three women.
Even though they were all three sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all found naked by water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, we have these three dead women, but
didn't see the correlation.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. Her death was classified as an accidental overdose.
Mm.
There was no sign of trauma or other evidence at the scene. The super weird thing about where Mandy was found, though, was that the the super weird thing about where Mandy was found was that the police chief stated the area was highly monitored. So apparently, this was the place that meth labs were dumped once they were done with the products or whatever.
Okay.
So they were just like, we're going to throw you in some water, because that makes sense.
Right.
I don't know. Law enforcement was constantly, like, circling that area, trying to make sure that there was nothing. But there's no actual evidence found on these women. There's no sign of...
So it's a police officer.
Any major abuse.
I cracked the case.
You did. It's done. No, which one?
They're all in on it. They take turns.
All of those bitches.
You just cut all that.
We'll see. So she had been a known sex worker, and she also struggled with addiction. And though she and her mom didn't see eye to eye most of the time, especially about her profession, she spoke with her mother nearly every day. And June 10th was the last time she was seen by her mother in person. The last time she spoke to her was on June 14th. Nope, I lied. On June 11th. The last person to see Mandy alive was a friend who stated she saw Mandy leaving the Sheridan Inn on June 14th. Now, specify, like, certain places they're staying in and working,
mm-hmm.
because you'll start to see a sort of connection, especially with the ones that aren't officially connected to these murders. She and her boyfriend had been living there at the time, and on June 11th, the couple had an argument, and I saw somewhere that she possibly turned her boyfriend in for being AWOL from the military. That same day, she contacted her grandfather requesting to stay at his home for a while, but she never arrived. So, the boyfriend was arrested that day and was released on June 21st. He couldn't find Mandy anywhere when he returned. Nobody knew where she was. So, he called her mom, and that was the first time that her mother heard anything about Mandy missing. That's a 7-day period where her mom, she and her mom hadn't talked, which is odd because it was nearly every day that they spoke.
Right.
So, she had to have been worried. He called her mother because Mandy was supposed to have his car, which wasn't at the Sheridan Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Along with her belongings that were missing. So she had his car and some of her stuff was gone. And nobody could find her anywhere. But his car was found 2 days after she was.
Oh.
And it was in an apartment complex in Lawton. And the windows were rolled down, which was odd. And the jewelry and other belongings that Mandy always had on her was never recovered. So the next victim was Janice B., gonna say B. In late February 2002, a woman was found in a pond under a bridge. She would later be identified as 29-year-old Janice. She had been missing since New Year's Day 2002. So about a month or so. Or over a month, because it was late February when she was found. Like many of the others, she was involved in sex work. She battled addiction. And at the time of her death, she had 3 small children. They were being taken care of by her mother, from the sounds of it. And she was ready to change her life and things. She had called her mom to talk about all this. Like, I want to change. I want to come back home. I want to be there. Apparently, she had recently found out that she had cancer. And so she decided to make changes. And so she and her mom made plans for her to come back home. But she never made it. She went missing. And at the time that she went missing, she was living with a woman named Lisa at the Sheridan Inn. So her death was determined to be an overdose of meth and cocaine.
And she was found naked?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
By water.
Yeah. Under a bridge, actually.
Yeah.
Her mother continued to raise her children after her disappearance and death. So they lived with her, or lived with her. So at this point, there's 4 victims. All very similar circumstances. Found naked, near or around water, and no one was still making a connection. No one.
Still
not.
I mean, even, like, the 2 that were actually living at the Sheridan,
mm-hmm.
and both found naked by water,
mm-hmm.
they didn't even connect those two?
No. Okay. Now, again, there were news reports. Oh, there was a body found. Again, it was, like, toward the back where nobody really looks.
Mm-hmm.
In the newspapers. And they were very broad-stroking the whole thing. So they were... They're very generic descriptors of the victims. All the women were described as white prostitutes in their 20s with drug addictions.
So they're giving fame to the killer,
mm-hmm.
while pretty much shaming the victims.
Oh, absolutely. To describe them only by their profession drives me absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah.
There's no point in it. If I were a victim, I wouldn't be, oh, the stay-at-home mom. Nobody would be would want to know my profession. They would want to know what happened to me. They would want to know that they were looking for the person that did this to me. That's it. But because these women were considered less than, they didn't get the attention they needed.
Yeah.
And they probably could have found the person doing this, because all they had to do is start riding the fucking roads. Just dumping the bodies in random places. Just put people by bridges. Put the police officers by bridges to hang out and be like, any suspicious activity?
It's probably because it was a police officer, or it was it was
somebody that knew the area.
A sergeant in the military, 100%, because they're near a base.
Yeah.
A base. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been to that base.
Is that one of the scary ones?
No. Really scary. Well, but I was 17 and I snuck into the barracks and stayed with my boyfriend.
What the fuck?
I flew from Tennessee to Oklahoma at 17 and stayed at the barracks with him. He snuck me in.
You were caught?
No, we didn't get caught. stay there for a week.
A whole fucking week?
Yeah, we didn't get caught.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Underage.
So what did you do during this week that you were, like, hanging out in the barracks? Like, I mean, I don't want to know that. I'm assuming that he had to go do stuff.
Yeah, he still had to go do stuff, yeah. So I watched a marathon of Tremors. Have you seen that? With Reba?
Yeah.
I love it. It is thebomb.com. My favorite.
So he just binge watched TV while he was off.
Well, he didn't really have TV. We had to go buy movies. So I literally binge watched Tremors over and over again.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, I got to see some of Oklahoma. That was fun.
It's cool.
They have tons of windmills because it's really windy there. But yeah, there's a little tidbit there. When I was 17, I flew to Oklahoma and snuck into barracks. I could have been... No, I was not a sex worker.
You were not a sex worker, and...
This was in 2009. Anyway, sorry.
Back to this.
Rambling.
Let's see. So the next victim is Paula Woodring. On June 4th, 2003, Paula was found under a bridge in Kiowa County. Again, she was involved with sex work and she was battling addiction. Unlike the others, she had not lived in or near Lawton for a long period of time prior to her death. Just before her disappearance, she had been released from prison. Not sure why. Tried to look it up. Couldn't find any information on that. Also, doesn't matter. So by all accounts, she was doing really well. She was working to turn life around, but because she was so new to the area and there wasn't a lot of people that knew her, she wasn't reported missing.
Oh, no.
So it's unclear when she was actually abducted, though they think that it could have been as early as May 2003. When she was found, again, there was no sign of trauma. So there was no bruising, no, like, obvious signs that would say, hey, this is what killed her.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, there she is.
So, overdose.
Mm-hmm. Pamela died at the age of 34 and was the mother of three children. I couldn't get any information on what she had been in prison for, where her children were at the time of her death, or where they are now. Nothing was reported on. I think after Janice, they started making a connection, but they still really didn't do much of an investigation. Those are the five official victims for the Lawton killer. However, there are certain ones that seem to be more related than, I guess, others that this Oklahoma cold case has talked about. And Tanya Hook was one of them. She was reported missing by her mother. She was 17 at the time of her disappearance and was living with her boyfriend in Lawton. She was living in a motel or something at the time, if I'm not mistaken. So according to law enforcement, she was a sex worker. And according to her boyfriend, Tanya had last been seen getting into a black truck with an older white man. Her remains were found on August 30th, 2003, in a ditch in McLean County. The cause of death was unable to be determined and it took at least 5 years for Tanya to be identified because of the state of her remains.
Oh my goodness.
I can't imagine for my child to be missing and not know, and then all of a sudden, 5 years later, be like, this is her.
Mm-hmm.
When this Oklahoma cold case investigative team, I guess, started looking into the cases, because again, they weren't reported on, so they wanted to dig into it more. They found several victims that fit the profile, and some of the cases were as early as 1991, whereas, if I'm not mistaken, 1999 was the time that Jane disappeared and was killed. So they think that this person was active
Before Jane.
So, I'm going to get into those a little bit. So, Tina Priest disappeared on August 4th, 1991. She was 19 at the time that she disappeared, and she was last seen in Lawton. She had been married at the time, but they were separated, so like they had nothing to do with each other. At the time that she disappeared, she was working at a topless bar called Deluxe. She was not known to have any addiction or delve into, like, the sex work like the others had. And she is still missing. They have not found her yet. Then there is Catherine Moore. She went missing in October of 1992. She was last seen with an older white man leaving on a motorcycle. She was found on October 31st. 1992 in a ditch outside of Nineka? I don't know. I'm butchering these fucking names. it was difficult to determine her death, but they knew her death was due to asphyxiation, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
A sketch was released regarding the possible suspect, the older white man that she left on the motorcycle with. He was described as to be 55 to 60 years old, 5'7"-ish, and about 200 pounds. He has black and white, wavy, medium-length hair, thinning at the top, with heavy sideburns. He had a scar on his left side of his upper lip, and he was wearing a light blue shirt, faded overalls, worn brown boots, and a white baseball cap that had Desert Storm on the front of it.
I'm telling you!
I love your facial expressions.
I mean, I just need to go down there.
Apparently so. Well, hopefully this man's dead and there's...
I mean, surely he is, because that was 90s.
Mm-hmm. And he was older.
He was in, what, 50s?
They say he was in the 50s, but then, I mean, look at some people.
Yeah. Mm. I mean...
I don't know. Let's see. The motorcycle was a gray Triumph, and apparently he was thought to have a red pickup truck. Now, how do they have this much information on the man?
Yes.
Knowing that he has a gray motorcycle, a red truck, specific things about, like, scars on his lip and things like that, and nobody was ever brought in.
Because he's high up.
So now we're in conspiracy theory.
No, he was a lieutenant.
And maybe. I don't know. There was definitely something weird going on, because, again, this was in 1992, and Jane wasn't found until 1999. So there's a huge gap. And if this is the same person, he was working for a really long time.
Yeah. But he had long hair. So he wasn't still in the military.
Could have been
normally,
a wig.
Yeah, maybe. Because normally, you know, military cut. Once you're in the military, you just kind of keep it.
Because it's ingrained in you at that point. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So the next one was Barbara Berry. In 1993, Barbara Berry went missing in Lawton. At the time, she worked at the topless bar in Lawton called Deluxe.
Double D Deluxe. Double D.
Let's see. Her remains were found nearly a year later, November 1994. She was found in a box in a field. This box was covered in like a plaster-like substance. Mm-hmm. And inside the box, she was covered in plastic. There was no obvious signs of death, which is odd. Again, I don't understand how all these women have died and not one of them have any major signs of trauma.
Who is their forensic people?
I don't know.
To be fired.
Seems like it. They need to go a little bit more in depth. In the box with her, like, I think she was the only one that was really found with anything that was anything, really, because everybody else was found near or in water. And was completely naked. And
she was in a box.
Very little was found with her. She was found in a box, but also in that box were two shirts, a single sock, and two nails. Now, I don't know if they were talking about fingernails, which would wig me the fuck out, or if they were talking about, like, nails you hammer in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't specify. She is also one of the only ones that had any real broken bones as well. She had a broken bone in her right upper eye socket.
So how would that not, like, mean that she was in an altercation or something?
Oh, it definitely shows that she was in an altercation, but apparently this fracture or whatever that was there wasn't enough to cause death. So they can't say that she was in an altercation, she got hit, and that was what caused her death.
So she got hit, she got knocked out, probably. It might have knocked her out, maybe. I don't know. And then she was put in
likely
a box wrapped in plastic where she probably suffocated.
Mm-hmm. She was obviously killed. This wasn't just an accidental overdose of, I don't know, going down to the creek, hanging out, shooting up meth, and just wandering into the water and dying naked. Because honestly, at this point, this is when they say accidental overdose to these women who were naked in water, this is the image that I have. Like, what other option is there?
Right.
They were fucking put there.
Yes.
Nobody just...
They just
Yeah. Nobody just shoots up meth, goes, hey, I'm gonna get naked, let's run out in water. Now, I could be wrong. They could say that, and they could do that, but I don't think they would just stay there and die.
Yeah, I believe you're wrong. I mean, you make very valid points.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. It really
and
doesn't.
Honestly, if you go onto this Oklahoma cold cases, it is so overwhelming with the number of cases that they have, because there's just picture after picture after picture after, and each of them have a little snippet of how they were found. If they're not identified, it has their identifying descriptions and all of that stuff. It's awful. The next one was labeled as Kiowa Jane Doe, and she was identified this year.
Oh, wow.
As okay. Rebecca Boyd. In June of 2002, Rebecca went missing from Lawton, and she was battling addiction. And at the time she went missing, she was living with her grandparents in Rush Springs. She decided to go see her estranged ex-husband who worked in Lawton. There were two possible sightings of Rebecca that day. She was either last seen leaving her ex-husband's workplace, didn't specify where it worked, at a gas station on a payphone where she was having some crazy argument with someone. So she was discovered by a farmer on July 13th, 2005, just off the highway in Kiowa County. There were no clothing or belongings found with her, and honestly, all they had was a partial skull.
And they figured out that it was her this year?
Mm-hmm. So they were unable to determine death because of the partial skull. That's really all they had. I think they had a few other, like, bones and things mm-hmm. like that, but there wasn't enough to say anything else. When she was found, they determined that the remains were that of a female between 17 and 30, and dated the death to range anywhere from 1987 to 2002.
It's a big gap.
That is a big-ass gap. But, again, they have very few bones to go by.
Yeah.
The last one is Anastasia Running Wolf. She was found on November 3rd, 2005. She was 25 at the time of her death. She was battling a drug addiction. So she had a falling out with her family in 2005. So she was no longer allowed to stay in their home, though they did take care of her three small children. So since she didn't really have anywhere to go, she kind of turned to the streets. And she was homeless. In October, the contact had kind of tapered off due to a disagreement about her visiting the children. And they just assumed that she needed some time to cool off. Unfortunately, on November 3rd, she was found in a ditch, naked, except for a blanket. And this was in Oklahoma City. So it's not technically in Lawton, but apparently it bore enough resemblance to the others that they included it in their list.
Which, I mean, it does.
It does. She was murdered 2 years after the last official Lawton serial killer victim. The theories. So there were theories that these women were the victims of the I-40 killers, and I'll probably do research on them, but John Robert Williams and Rachel Cumberland were I-40. The I-40 killers.
Mm-hmm.
They were arrested in 2004 for murder of a 20-year-old sex worker. Her name was Nikki Hill. Williams claimed to have killed approximately 30 sex workers over a course of 2 decades. And his body disposal was similar to these women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have, because...
Did he have military history?
I don't know.
See, I just think it's a military person.
Maybe. I don't know. He sounds like a real arrogant asshole, though. So...
The I-40 killer?
Yeah.
So he also has a tiny dick?
Oh, he's very much Tiny Dick Man.
Okay.
Yeah. Second theory was... It could be a completely different serial killer.
Yeah.
Obviously. What the fuck? Oh no, we can't have multiple serial killers at the same time, right? Oh my god. Okay, anyway. The third was that they thought maybe it was... These murders were committed by a local. Somebody that knew the area well enough. Like, they knew when to dump the body.
Mm-hmm.
For the one that was where the meth labs were.
Right.
So, maybe local, or...
Military.
The next one was I thought that the killer may be a taxi driver, because who else is a woman going to feel comfortable with getting into a vehicle with?
That is true. I don't feel comfortable getting into taxis.
Like, I don't either, which is why I don't ever get in them.
I've been into a few Ubers.
Yeah,
there was a minivan. Minivan Uber. He was an older man, not from Tennessee, and he had an accent, a northern accent, and he was quite funny, actually. He did not like that we had open beverages, though, in his minivan.
I mean...
And I was like, you're in downtown Nashville, honey.
Technically, if he were to get pulled over,
then it would be open drunk containers. And it would be empty by the time... It's like, you know, when you gotta click it real quick.
Yeah. Click it or tick it, you know. gotta chuck it
down. Chuck it down.
So there was another theory. It was possibly a truck driver, which the I-40 killer was a truck driver. And there, from what I gather, it was kind of like this town here where it's not that far off the interstate.
Right.
And trucks frequent the pass to get from one highway to the next. So, maybe. I mean, you hear a lot of truck drivers that choose to be serial killers. Enough about the tiny dick men. I want to talk about the women, who these women actually were. And I wasn't able to find a whole lot about them, so they're just little snippets of them and their personality. So, the 28-year-old Jane Chafton was a mother, a sister, and was loved dearly. She loved Kenny Rogers, and other than this, I couldn't find anything else. Legitimately, like, even the Oklahoma cold case didn't add more to...
And when did she pass away?
That was in 1999.
So, okay. It would probably be hard to find anything.
Yeah. See, 25-year-old Sandy Ramsey was described as fun to be around. She loved dancing, and she loved children. 21-year-old Mandy Raitt was... She was wanting to make changes in her life to stop battling addiction and start overcoming it. She wanted to be an artist and a mother. 29-year-old Janice B. I don't want to mess up her name. I literally could find nothing about her, but she's freaking beautiful. She was one of them that, when I was scrolling through the pictures on the Oklahoma cold case files on Facebook, random family members were posting, like, miss you cousin and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very much loved. 34-year-old Pamela Woodring. Again, nothing on her other than that she was a mother and she was someone's daughter and she didn't deserve to die the way she did. 17-year-old Tanya Hook was loved by her mother, though they didn't see it eye to eye all the time. In 2008, they were able to positively identify her through dental records. And unfortunately, shortly before the results came in, Tanya's mother died of cancer. She never knew where her daughter was.
Well, she ended up being with her.
True. 19-year-old Barbara Berry was described as a bright, fun, and beautiful person. She did have older parents, and she was described as wild, but that didn't really change the fact that they loved her.
Right.
When Barbara went missing, her mother actually started going to places that she knew Barbara would hang out and hand out flyers and talk to anybody that she could.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time she was just laughed at.
That's
hot. Yeah. But she worked so hard on trying to find any information about her daughter, even when the police weren't taking it seriously. 19-year-old Tina Priest. So Tina and her sister Sandy were super close. Tina was described as having a heart of gold. She would have done anything for anyone, and she was the life of the party. And although she was tiny, she was really short, by the way, they described her as mighty. She had a fiery temper when pushed. Her sister, Sandy, never stopped fighting to find out what happened to her sister. She even went as far as to dig up the backyard where Tina was last seen. 38-year-old Catherine Moore. I couldn't find any information.
Was that the one that didn't have any family?
She's the one that disappeared on the motorcycle with the old white man.
Oh, okay, that's right.
That they had a bunch of information on, but yes, didn't and, really.
Mm-hmm.
29-year-old Rebecca Boyd. She was the one that was originally Jane Doe, but was later found to be Rebecca Boyd. She had two small children, and one of her sons was 9 years old when she disappeared. 25-year-old Anastasia Running Wolf. Her her sister had said she was a resourceful, intelligent girl. She had been ferocious and never doing anything in moderation. And that is my story of the Lawton, Oklahoma serial killer.
I don't know why you're clapping.
You did good.
Oh,
you
thanks, did good. Thanks. No, okay, so my goal in most of the cases that I do, if not all, is to find as much information about the individuals as possible. However, the older ones aren't going to have much.
No, they're not. The older ones
are especially not. When they weren't even reported on by the news.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Drives me insane.
Because even in the case that I'm working on, it's not. I mean, it's old, but it's not super old, and I still can't find a whole lot of information on it.
Yeah.
So, it's the really 90s.
Damn, those 90s. What would you like to do as the change the subject so we're not all super depressed? Random fact of the day.
Did you know that polar bears clean their fur by face planting into the snow and rubbing their bodies against the ground while pushing themselves along with their back legs?
That's like so happy.
Here's a picture.
Oh my gosh!
I love this so much.
They just fucking face plant.
It's amazing.
And just start rubbing their bodies against the ground.
It's a fun image. I need to see it in real life now.
I do not want to see a polar bear in real life. Why no, thank not? You. They are...
Stay far away from it. It's fine.
They are the most deadliest bears.
Are they the most deadly bears?
I think so, yeah. They are killers.
Deadliest.
They're not the cuddly Coca-Cola ones.
What are you talking about? Like, of course, they pop open a Coke.
No.
And they just chill with you.
And then they pop it open, drink it, then they...
You are right. Break number it one is polar bears.
Yes, they are deadly. I watched this TikTok video of this guy that was in, like, this, not plastic, obviously, but, like, this metal and clear, I don't know... contraption thing where he's sitting in the middle,
yeah,
out in the middle of like nowhere, and this polar bear comes up, and the polar bear is trying to break this little entrapment that he's in to get in there and eat him.
That's terrifying.
Yes, he was scared. Like, he probably shit himself. Like, he was like, I'm never fucking doing this again. I was like, no shit, Sherlock. Like, polar bears are literally horrifying.
Oh my gosh.
And Coca-Cola made them their spokesperson. Oh, so I saw
Danger Teddy. The forbidden teddy bear.
The forbidden teddy bear. another fucking TikTok. I was watching another TikTok, and it was, I want to say it was Oklahoma, but it may not have been. And it was, like, the Oklahoma wildlife.
Yes!
And it was like...
Yes, I loved it!
What did it say? It had a mountain lion.
Yeah.
And it was like, the mountain lion... You're cold.
They have fur.
They are not cold. Do not bring them inside. And then everybody, like, just fucking goes crazy.
It's like Danger Kitty. If not supposed to hug...
Why
huggable?
And then it's like, but I want to. And then the Oklahoma was, or the wildlife was,
yeah,
like, I don't care.
It was Oklahoma. And then they started using Ron Swanson.
Yes, Ron memes. Swanson on everything.
It was perfect.
He was like, no, I don't care. I know more than you. It was funny. That's
you are wrong.
Funny. Yeah.
So I'm going to bring us back to the polar bears, because this website that I'm looking at for like ranking all the bears, it says many species of bears are afraid of humans, but polar bears are not one of them.
No, they will.
They will hunt humans until they catch them and eat them.
Yes, they will eat.
So you have officially changed my mind. I don't want to see a polar bear in real life.
It's just like hippos. I was talking to somebody the other day. Hippos are deadly. No, you just want to go love on them. No.
I don't want to go hug on a hippo. They look gross.
Well.
Like, they look like they would just feel sticky.
Oh, they definitely feel stupid, for sure, 100%. But like,
their teeth... Like, my kids are like that, and I'm like, no, go away.
Their argument was, like, their teeth was flat or something like that. And I'm like, no, they are
They destroy
deadly.
Crocodiles.
Yes, they will eat you. I think...
killed, oh my god. Hippos kill an estimated 500 people.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Oh my god.
They are deadly. Polar bears are deadly. Hippos are deadly. I'd rather hang out with a rhino than a hippo.
Want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
It gets hot inside these rhinos.
That's perfect. Oh, shit.
But yeah, no polar bears.
No,
Sam.
No polar bears.
If you'd like to reach out to us with any questions, suggest a case, or tell us your true crime or spooky stories, you can reach out to us at
m3. Now that's the number 3. truecrimepod@gmail.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at m3 Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem.
Thanks for listening to our dumbasses.
Have a fan-fucking-tastic week. Bye!